verses 10 through 17. It is found on page 76 of your Bibles in your pews if you would like to follow along. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues when a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, as you go through the scripture as a pastor looking for the passage in among the four lectionary passages that are suggested each week, sometimes you read a passage and you say, yeah, we've heard that before, and you move on past and you look for the interesting one. But sometimes that's a clue in itself of saying, maybe I missed something there. And I have to say, I missed the rich nuance of this marvelous story. So I went back and spent some time looking at this week. It starts out, it says Jesus was teaching. This is a healing story, which is fascinating because what it means is that healing is associated with teaching. I'm not sure that we've grasped that. But maybe when we're teaching and learning, there's a sense of healing that comes to us. In a synagogue on the Sabbath, this woman who had been disabled, it says a spirit of weakness. That's what the Greek says. A spirit of weakness. It doesn't say she was ill. It says a spirit of weakness had been with her for 18 years. Had weighed her down, had made it so she couldn't stand up for herself. For 18 years, she was bent over, as the children's message said. When you're bent over like that, you can't even see. You can't even see what's going on ahead of you there. And Jesus comes, and he places his hands on her. And that's just such a marvelous image, and I wonder, did he put his hand on top of her head? Did he put his hands on the side of her face? Did he take her by the shoulders and lift her up? Did he put his arm around her? Did he reach out and give her a big hug? What does it look like in your mind, one way or another? He reached out and touched her, and all of a sudden, she stood up straight. The synagogue leader is very different than the woman, because the woman, all of a sudden, she knows what's been done to her. She can stand up. She's had this weight lifted, and she praises God. But the synagogue leader is angry. I kind of wonder, how well did he know the woman? How much did he care about the woman? He'd seen her, you assume, in a small town. He'd seen her for 18 years be all bent over and unable to see, to do much of anything, to see how she had been how she had been weighed down with this, and yet he doesn't celebrate one bit. The synagogue leader is incensed that Jesus healed on the Sabbath and berates Jesus, saying, "There's 6 days when work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." And Jesus says, "You hypocrites." I'm sorry, I read that. "You hypocrites." And immediately what came to mind, sometimes I just do free association, okay? What came to mind was that old Wilson in Five Easy Pieces, where he goes into this diner, he's sitting there, he wants to order some dry toast, and they say, the waitress says, we don't serve dry toast. They go round and round, and finally Jack says, okay, I want a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Hold the bacon, hold the lettuce, hold the tomato, hold the mayo. She says yes, and he just wipes everything off the table. He's so angry. You know, Jesus is seeing how hypocritical these people are being. They've forgotten what their core purpose is. Don't each of you, he says, on the Sabbath, untie your ox or donkey and take it out to give it a drink. Giving it a drink. You know, you've taken a thirsty animal and given it water, and you know it's just bound to nuzzle up against you because it knows that you've taken care of it, like a mother or a father. Jesus sees that, but this synagogue leader he's missed it altogether. Jesus goes on to say, isn't it that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, what he's just done is saying, you know, you're like a child of the Queen of England. You're royalty, woman. This woman who's been oppressed for all these years, this woman who's been held down, this woman who's been tied up in knots for years. And instead of putting her down, he lifts her up with the very name that he calls her. You're royalty, woman. You're a daughter of Abraham. And all his opponents were put to shame. They've been fighting for the Ten Commandments, they thought. The Ten Commandments that say you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So they're really, you know, being very righteous and trying to follow the rules and go along the Ten Commandments that say do work on 6 days, not on the Sabbath day. But Jesus reminds them that the very first words, you can look it up, in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, at the very beginning of the Ten Commandments, before any of the rules come, the relationship is established. And the relationship says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What has this woman been? She has been bound up. So what's the meaning of the Sabbath? The Sabbath is to lift people up, to help them get rid of the oppression that the world has put upon their shoulders. This woman has been demeaned, denigrated, and denied proper status, probably denied proper pay, and oppressed for 18 years. She's probably been under threat of violence, physical, verbal, psychological, like a whole lot of women today. And what does Jesus do? He comes along and he lifts her up. And he says that's the core of what our faith is about, to lift people up. It's a new status for women in the kingdom of God, this freedom of being human, free from whatever binds, imprisons, or diminishes. And it's a challenge to the religious community to remember the core of what we just wander off. It's got to be something that endures and perpetuates and expands because it's been institutionalized. You value a country? You value freedom and democracy? Wonderful. Institutionalize it. Make that country strong with the ways that you support the institutions there. And then those institutions grow and they gain wisdom. And then we, from all these schools, another example, schools, you value education, you value people being smart, you value technology that comes from growing great, but institutionalize it, make a school, and make that school strong. Support the schools. All these institutions are there to expand what no individual can do by themselves. And once you have those institutions become a source of stability, but a source of wisdom. Because there is this growth that happens when people support these same values together, that there's a wisdom that comes that goes beyond what any one person could do, and even beyond what that group could do. Something amazing happens when institutions are formed and they grow in that wisdom. But any institution can also become corrupt. A family can become dysfunctional. A government can give too much freedom or too little freedom. A government can have too few laws or too many laws. You have to pay attention not just to the technical part of it, but to the spirit of what's going on. The same thing can happen in a religious institution, and that's part of what Jesus is showing today, that the religious institution itself can forget the spirit of what it has been formed about. Now notice, Jesus is not being anti-institutional here. He's correcting it to help it remember what its core meaning is and what it's about. There's a sociologist, James Davidson Hunter, whose work I enjoy very much. What he says about churches is this. He says, churches are the only institution that has the power to challenge the corrupting influences of other institutions in society. He says, the sources of bondage in the world are myriad. That's where it ties with today's woman who was all bound up. The sources of bondage in the world are myriad. The good news is that the shalom of God, the peace of God, not only exposes them for what they are, but offers a radical alternative grounded in the hope of the new creation. In other words, Christ reminds us of the Spirit, of what life is about. And the church is there to remind all the other institutions in the world what life is truly about, the spirit of what God wants us to have when we live together. Church only survives as the church comes together as a strong institution, as we support that institution of the church and the values that we bear there. And every year we have the pledge drive. And what's the pledge drive about? It's making the institution stronger, because that's the only way the institution really is bound together, is if we use our resources together. And we seek to raise a confirmation class or a Sunday school class or we baptize children as a way, in part, of carrying on the values that are embodied in that institution. Jesus is there to correct us, as we need to be there to correct the world, to remember, to help people to discover what life is truly all about. God has called us and given us the grace in a world that is filled with oppression and people that are bound up and bent over. And Jesus sees them, calls them by name, and lifts them up and says, "You are a child of God." And he sets them free to really live. That's our call. That's our call. That's our healing. That's our blessing. That's our grace. So I ask you, who are the people around you that you've seen that are oppressed, that are bound up, bent over, church